preparing a lawsuit against
let's just say that nature called, and I'm here with you. And only one thing I really want to talk about tonight, and so I'm going to save that. First of all, congratulations to the Baltimore Ravens for winning the 2013 Super Bowl. At least they didn't tear Baltimore apart, though they put the Ravens in one Raven to a tank and drove them from the airport to M&T Stadium in an armored convoy. Only in America. Only in America. Wow. My coffee's not too bad, all things considered. So that was kind of fun. I had a pretty good weekend. Went downtown, played some chess, went to a great party. Shout out to my friend Bill, who, well, he celebrated his 50th birthday Saturday night. That's really kind of scary. I've known him over 20 years, actually. So our sons were right about 10. Yeah, maybe a little younger. I don't know. But just about 20 years, Bill and I have been friends. We met, of course, on the soccer field. It's always nice to have friends that, when you've had friends for that long. If you want to give me a call, you know the number, 347-945-6713. And pretty much whatever you want to talk about. I'd really like to get some conversation going, about the main topic, and that is the memo that was recovered by, I think, CNN about the government's criteria for, killing somebody with a drone, even if they're an American citizen. I guess it doesn't matter if you're an American citizen. You really don't have any rights if the president decides you don't have any rights and are a threat. Hey, get a couple of guests, 0844 and 1273. 1273 just logged out. I hope he comes back. There's a interesting person in the chat room. He's in a giant cram session for the LSATs on Saturday. I don't know why anybody would want to be a lawyer in America. I mean, 1 in 4 college graduates in America are lawyers. But we'll see. We'll see. That's not bull there from the chat room. 1 in 4 American college graduates went to law school. That's a fact. But anyway, and if anyone would like to contest that, the number's 347-945-6713. An old lawyer in Severna Park brought that to my attention a few years ago at the Severna Park Model Railroad Club, and I have never forgotten it. And so, but that's okay. Everybody seems to be a lawyer in America. Heck, the headmaster of the school I work at's a lawyer. What else is new? He's even a Harvard lawyer, but that's a whole other issue and story. So here I am sitting here. Just about 9 minutes into the show, and we're arguing about lawyers and tree hugging. What are you going to do? Oh, another really nice thing that last Thursday night, since the last show anyway, I went to the Zoo Bar on Thursday night with another long and good friend of mine. Actually, about 15 years I've known this guy, a European historian. And we watched The Big Boy and the new Zoo Bar. You know, they've got the whole thing all torn up. They got the whole thing all torn up. They're putting on a new front or something. And so the Zoo Bar had a little different look, but the Big Boy sure still had the same sound. The first couple of songs of the jam set were just spectacular. I do admit, though, I did miss Mac Kelly, who's the usual guitarist with Big Boy Little. He was off at some guitar competition in what's that place? Start Memphis. And he actually won that one time. I guess he was going back and seeing if he could do it again. But anyway, Steve Jacobs, who's another great guitarist, was kind enough to fill in. And if you're not a Big Boy regular, you wouldn't have even noticed the difference. Matt and Steve are definitely in the same league, though Matt's the up-and-comer. Steve's a little older, been playing a little longer, I guess. But anyway, I really liked the Zubar, and I got a student who, well, not my direct student, but she's looking to interview local blues talent for a project she's doing in school. Hold on a second. Go ahead, 750. You're on with Norm at Night.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. I'm having a good time. Live Feed USA. I wonder who the heck that is. They just came into my chat room. That could be something interesting. Oh, before I forget, believe it or not, Norm at Night just went over. Live Feed says there's just been a 8.0 earthquake at the Santa Cruz Islands.
And that's in America?
Yeah, Santa Cruz, California, I would assume.
Yeah. Right, Norm, we have someone here next. Here wants to say hi too.
Hello.
All right, that's okay. I'm listening.
Hello.
Well, I recognize that voice. I'm not going to say who I think it is, but hello, how are you? I'm glad that you could call. Oh, it's north of New Zealand. I'm sorry, it's not Santa Cruz, California. But an 8.0 earthquake.
It sounds like the same
serious.
Kind of fact that you just randomly pull off the air whenever you want, Norm. Huh? You just have like this huge fact like up in your air. You just pull out randomly. You make your things up.
I'm not making this up.
you just what else? What else? What other facts do you just
live
have to say?
Live feed has been an 8.0. Earthquake in the Santa Cruz Islands off New Zealand. The only thing I know. And if you want to go, you know what? If you don't want to work with Norm, why don't you go to iris.edu and just look it up?
Okay, Norm.
That's bullshit.
Okay.
What's bullshit? I heard that.
this is the other person saying that.
Fine. You go to iris.edu/dms/seisman.htm. Thank you, Live Feed. I got two doubters on the line here. Hey,
oh,
I got another call. Oh, no, wait. That's me. That's the host. I thought I had another call coming in. The only thing I want to say, Norm at Night is over the 86,000 listen mark. I was really kind of happy about that. And, you know, I've been studying for 2 days to get this show on the air. I'm taking a little break now and going live. I'm actually teasing somebody I know that's listening.
Well, congratulations. Just have 20 more thousand. No, there's like 40,000 to go.
I can't wait to go over the 100,000 mark. I can't wait. By my predictions, well, it'll be about 4 months. If
what about 2 billion?
Listenership stays steady.
What about 2 billion?
I'm doing about 4,000 a month. 4,000 listens. That's making me feel pretty good.
You should try and get 2 billion.
2 billion. I just like 100,000.
Suit yourself. You know,
and who knows? Maybe if I get each of those 100,000 people to give me a $5 bill, who knows?
That's right. You can't. So, Norm, what about?
I want to go become another one of those college graduates who's a lawyer, but I figure there's enough guys out there going for it. So
too old for that, Norm. Too old. Maybe.
Never too old. Never too old. But anyway,
college again.
Before this call came in, I was telling everybody out there listening about Big Boy Little. And I'm going again Thursday night, and the student, we've arranged an interview for the student with Big Boy, and she's going to do it.
Nice.
And so that'll be really kind of cool. Hopefully, maybe we can get her on the air. We had another student do a interview here on the air about her project. It's really kind of fun working at a project-based school that has great respect for the art of gaming.
What do you
have
to tell about if you need help
with
World of Warcraft?
Someone says that they can help you with World of Warcraft if you need help.
Well, you know, I do need help. I created a World of Warcraft account again. It's been a ton of years, and I was killing, I don't know, some kind of worm today, and so that I was getting the rush out of that. Next thing you know, I'll have to get an assault rifle to slaughter worms.
Well, don't worry, though, but if you need help, just contact me, and I should be able to answer it.
Well, I hope so. It was a big help today. I'm the moderator of a gaming club and at the school I work at. And it really was kind of fun. But you got to be very careful about these games because I'm a lover of great literature. And one of the, well, I believe, greatest pieces of Western literature is Dante's Inferno. And so we were trying to create some kind of a role play based on the Inferno, and sure enough, there's one out there, but of course we can't watch it because it's rated, or use it because it's rated M. So I think we're going to be better off. We changed direction a little bit, and we had a great time today. A great time. And so I'm looking forward to more of that. But the topic for the evening that I really wanted to talk about that scares me a lot, and I voted for the President of the United States, and I can't believe that he's doing the stuff he's doing with these drones.
Why is that a scary thing, Norm? I think you just, this whole topic about drones killing American people, it's just, it doesn't really make sense to me. What is the difference between an American citizen and someone living in Pakistan or somewhere else?
What do you mean, what's the difference?
What is the difference that the American government to kill you with a door, to kill you with they need like a special permission, but like to kill someone else living not American citizen, they don't need any permission?
Not if they attack us.
So if American citizen was attacking American interest, then with your own logic would have no problem attacking that individual. Who? What's the difference?
American citizens under our system of law have the right to due process. I'm not saying that other people don't have that same right. But the President of the United States than just kill an American because he's in Yemen, because he suspects him of being a terrorist. He can do the same thing in Kansas.
Yeah, so what? Why not do it then?
Or heck, if he determines that some teacher at a school in Rockville is a terrorist, he can just put a drone in there and kill the teacher and all the students.
Yeah, so if someone thinks that a student in like Pakistan, a teacher in Pakistan is like terrorist and kill everyone there, then why is there you need like a special thing that you can't kill
them? I don't think he should be able to do that.
My question is that why is now of such a big deal and it wasn't before? Now he kills someone American, it's like such a big deal.
Well,
and
if you
before, it was, if no one even talked about
time
it.
Time out here before I hit the cutoff button on you.
Well, do it. It'll make my life easier.
Do it.
But so is American life value more than another country's citizen? Is that what you're saying, Norm?
But if you were a regular listener to Norm at Night, you would know that Norm has been railing against these drone attacks since the first ones. And in fact, the raid inside Pakistan to get Osama bin Laden was not a drone attack.
Well, no, I was talking about whoever else. Like, they have, like, I don't know how many thousand.
I know we send drones into Pakistan. I know that. I'm not a fan of the drone. I'm sorry. And if you'd listened to me for any length of time, you would know I criticize this president for the drone attacks, for not closing Guantanamo and letting these damn wars go on for as long as they have.
So you would agree with me to say that drone attacks on any human individual, either American or otherwise, is illegitimate. And
I would agree with you that drone attacks are very questionable. However, for instance, when we were at war with Germany, if we put a drone into the Wolf's Lair while Adolf Hitler was there, I don't think I'd feel too bad about it, because we were at war with those people.
Well, we're always at war. Isn't America at war with terrorism or whatever?
Hey, you know what? I didn't fly the airplane into the World Trade Center.
What?
I didn't fly the airplane into the World Trade Center. You can't blame America for being at war. You can blame America for fighting the wrong people. You can blame America for the debacle in Iraq.
Yeah, well,
you can't blame America for flying the planes into the World Trade Center. We didn't do that.
Well, that's beside the point. I'm not questioning the America's. Well, isn't the person that did it like already dead now? So what's the big fuss about, anyways? So you still.
Well, I won't argue very much with you about that. I think this terror war has to stop. I think it's going to take us a century at least to recover from the damage we have done ourselves.
And much more for other people, other countries, that the damage has been more disastrous. Okay, this is what is very, very interesting to me. For a country, this was America as a country. This was probably like the second biggest attack after being Pearl Harbor. The second biggest attack, like a foreign foreign country has ever stepped, ever attacked American citizen in its own country in that scale. The second time. Second time.
A lot of people, well, a lot of Americans got killed in the Civil War.
No, no, I'm talking about foreign power. I'm not talking about Civil War. I'm not talking about well, I guess you could talk about the British, you're fighting the British, but that was before America was founded.
We fought the British twice. Don't you ever forget that. Twice! And we beat them both times.
Okay, that's beside the point. Well, what I meant to say was that a country comes in, kills 2,000 people, say. You wage a war, you go into a country, and then you bomb countless buildings. Countless, you kill more than a million people. I don't understand how that is right. Or how is that balanced?
I'm not going to try to justify the war in Iraq. I was against that war from the day they crossed the frontier with shock and awe. No, we've had a disastrous foreign policy for the last 12 years. Sorry, disastrous. Nobody's arguing that point. But don't fly airplanes into buildings if you don't expect the reaction that you get. Nobody thought we would do what we've done. Or they may have thought twice about that attack. But anyway, you got me on something I didn't want to talk about. Here is the problem. And I don't think the President of the United States should be able to do this against Americans without some kind of a court hearing the situation and saying, okay, it's okay, and against other people without a declaration of war. And I don't think we have a declaration of war right now. I don't find the Congress authorizing the president to use force to be the same as a declaration of war. And it is also very difficult because who do we declare war against? That's the other problem here. But anyway, here are the criteria as discovered in the Justice Department memo. If the president or some other high official in the American government determines that someone is a senior operational leader of Al-Qaeda, you can blow them up. If it's decided that some individual, American or non-American, is planning an operation that is an imminent threat to the United States or its citizens, you can blow them up. And finally, a high official in the government doesn't even need evidence. They can just say someone's a threat, and that's enough to put a drone in their backyard.
Yeah, I guess that's a little problematic.
It is a problem. It's a serious problem. And I don't know what the solution is. I don't pretend to know what the solution is. And there are people who say that if I became the president tomorrow and read all the information that the president has at his disposal, that I would do the same thing. I honestly hope that is not the case. We can't just keep killing each other. As a species, as a country, we got to go hug the trees. Hey, wait a minute. My California caller's here. Hold on a second. Stay on the line. Hey, go ahead. You're on with Norm.
How's it going, boy?
Not bad. You got any drones coming into your yard?
Oh, not recently. If they come around here, we know what they're looking for.
Oh, marijuana.
Yeah, I expect that would be something that the DEA was very interested in.
Well, according to the leaked document, all they have to do is determine that you are a potential threat to the safety and security of the United States. They can take you out with a drone.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't matter if you're inside the continental United States or not. Or
right,
you can join in anytime you want, 750.
Yeah.
It's a free-for-all.
There's more to it than that. I mean, I realize they're using the Patriot Act and...
There isn't more to it than that.
Oh,
that's
no, no. You aren't going to... Let me continue.
Let me continue. No, You're not going to obscure what the document said.
But you aren't listening to me. You aren't listening to me at all.
Okay, I'm not...
What I was going to say is this. What makes you think it's limited to drones? If he has the power to off anybody that's considered by his determination an imminent threat, he can do any goddamn thing to you. He can poison your water. He can shoot you in the street. He can do whatever.
Exactly.
It's not just drones. You know. No, there's a lot more to this. There's, you know, I mean, I think, you know, he may be safe. Well, no, you know, we actually discussed this, I think, maybe a year back before the election.
Hey,
when they killed that guy in Yemen.
We've been talking about this for a year on the Norman Knight Show.
Right, and I recall one of the things that they had to do, which was sort of an equivalent of due process, was that he had to have a hearing. And whether
he
doesn't
have to do that according to the leaked document.
Right. And, well, but a hearing had to be held whether the imminent threat was present or not. The hearing had to be there. And a judge then would determine.
And that was for a wiretap.
Yeah. Well, no. This had to do with the killing of the guy in Yemen, and I think he had a son, like 16 years old, something like that.
Yeah, he wasn't killed on the same day. That's something else that I thought he was just a casualty of the first attack. But
yeah. Well, originally, yeah.
They actually went after him.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the drone thing has a lot of... I mean, obviously, this is just one element of it. And then, what is an imminent threat versus an ongoing threat? Now, this guy in Yemen obviously wasn't an imminent threat. He's nowhere close to doing anything.
Threat. He had a big mouth.
Yeah, all right. We can say that, sure. But... You know, an imminent threat is another animal completely. If somebody has a plan or a plot or an operation that's on the ground and moving, that's imminent.
An imminent threat is the plane on the way to the building.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You shoot it down.
Or the guy at the airport. Or the guy in his hotel room before he goes to the airport. And at what level of, and maybe at the planning stage. You know, we can go back on this, you know.
Yeah, but
I don't
have
think
the right to kill people for that.
Well, the thing is that the legal determination, what does the word imminent mean?
I can't claim self-defense against you if you haven't actually attacked me. If you're plotting to attack me, I can't, and I find out I can't just go over there and shoot you and claim self-defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what my Uncle Guido used to do.
Mm-hmm.
But not my real Uncle Guido listeners. That was figurative.
Yes, I understand. So,
emailing.
Yeah.
Asking me if my Uncle Guido was in, was connected.
Oh,
that brings me to another interesting, a Morning Joe this morning. There was this guy wrote a column, Frank Bruni.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that when the Italians were coming here, they were looked upon as being not quite white.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty bad. I mean, they suffered worse than most immigrants.
Well, what's his name? That congressman from Tennessee who ran for the Senate and lost. He's on Morning Joe all the time.
Oh,
I can't think of his name. I don't like him very much.
The guy Rand Paul beat.
Harold. I can't think of his last name.
Hmm. Yeah, Rand Paul, I hate to say it, but he's been kind of off the wall lately.
To say the least.
I mean, in the beginning, I admire his father. He's not his father. I'll just say that.
He's a doctor too, though, right?
Sort of. Ophthalmologist or something. I don't know.
A physician.
Yeah, but I'm more concerned with his political views, which are taking on a different character. I mean, I think he's being molded by the Republican establishment, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, those Republicans, though, they got some weird doctor Congress people.
Yeah, quite a few, huh?
They got Rand Paul. They got Ron Paul.
Yeah.
They got that former Senate Majority Leader. Why can't I remember his name? I taught his sons.
Hmm.
Why can't I remember his name? I can remember the boys.
Frist, F-R-I-S-T?
Frist, that's right.
Yeah. Mm.
He's an MD.
Yeah.
That crazy budget guy, he's a senator, though, from Oklahoma. What's his name? I can't think of it.
Mm.
But he's a budget wacko, too.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, housing prices are starting back up, it appears.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're doing very well here. See, you know that my area, which is the majority of North Sacramento, our levies are not up to standard, the 100-year plane, and so...
What does it do, hold back the Sacramento River?
More or less, and then on the other side is the American River.
Oh.
see, we paid extra taxes to have all those levies reinforced, and after Katrina, then FEMA decided to, you know, investigate other areas, and they decided that we didn't have the 100-year standard. So what they've done, no building is allowed throughout this entire area. And we're talking a huge, huge, massive land where people bought property expecting to build. So there's no new construction whatsoever. So the result is now we're starting to get a shortage of homes. So it's actually accelerated the building. I mean, the building process in other areas, but also we gained like 18% last year. Pretty damn good for a single year.
Huh.
So yeah, they can keep doing that. I don't mind. The only problem is my insurance is probably going to go way, way up. It just went up 30%.
Homeowner's insurance.
Yeah, this is just flood insurance. So my flood insurance will, within a couple of years, be over $1,000 easily. So
my home insurance is going up. At least I got a home.
Yeah, well, you know, I can live with it, but, you know. But see, we also passed yet another tax on ourselves to get these damn levees built and reinforced and all that, you know. But there's also federal money that's supposed to come, and that's been held up for quite a while. So, anyway, you know, I don't. You know, because I don't know what's going to come out of this Congress. It's been the most inept that I've ever known. I mean, for the last couple of years, and it doesn't seem to look any more promising in the future. So,
it's not any inept than any other Congress. Christ Almighty, there was a Congress. They were so inept it ended up in a civil war.
Yeah, that's true. You know, but. But I mean, you know, I'm the kind of person that, you know, above the partisanship politics, I want the business of the state to be done. And that's what they're not doing.
I don't think
that's why I will never vote for a Republican or Democrat ever again. They don't represent me. My interests are in the country running properly. And
the country is running like,
and I'm talking about really basic stuff, you know.
The country's running like the people want it to run.
Oh, hell it is.
Hell it isn't. They keep
really
electing these
on, Norm. If it ran like the people want it to be, we wouldn't be in Afghanistan. We wouldn't be in Europe.
But it's running.
We wouldn't have a drug war in Colombia and Bolivia.
It's running like the people want it to.
No, come on. You know what a corporatocracy is. You know what fascism is. Remember how Mussolini described fascism, right?
Yes.
The marriage of the corporation and the state.
Yeah, I've heard that said.
Yeah, and the closer we get to that, the closer do we. Oh, and forget about the trains running on time. This ain't gonna happen. Be lucky to see a train.
Trains running on time.
I love that old canard. So, but anyway, yeah, I won't rant on about what I think of the federal government, but. I think even worse of my local government and the state, too. So,
well,
none of them do what I want.
We get what we ask for. Hey, come on, people. We got about 15 minutes left. 347-945-6713. We had a real good month of January. We got 4,500 listeners in.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Not
the deal. You know, I'm thinking, like, I mean, these people, there's someone out there doing this, but, you know, they have the opportunity to call in. I mean, I mean, you're not Oprah, but still,
no,
they got a chance to call
in. Now, my percentage of calls as composed to listeners is not that far off your standard radio talk show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's far more listeners than there ever are callers.
Yeah. You remember that guy, Ken Pettigrew? Now, he rarely, you know, once in a while he has people call in. But it's mostly, you know, he has his spiel and he's boom, 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 and, you know, and he's real good at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very far right. And
hey, guest 10844, why don't you give us a call? Hold on a minute. Guest 10844, get some stones and give us a call. 347-945-6713. We'd love to hear from you.
Let's see. Yeah, I remember last week's show. You brought up the article from Tom Hartman.
Yes. And,
yeah, I looked into that a little bit, you know. I mean, the guy did some rather selective reading, or shall we say.
Oh, my God.
Shall we say.
Anybody
shall
does it
shall
like,
we say cherry picking?
Oh, selective. Like.
No, I like cherry picking.
Is it selective?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now
well,
you're going to beat me with that horse.
Oh, well, I just want to throw in a couple things. You know, he says, well, okay. Now, here's the premise. Okay. Although he didn't go there, this is the premise. Okay. Militias were only used for slave patrols. Now, we have no more slaves, therefore, we don't need militias.
That's correct.
If we don't need militias, we don't need the Second Amendment.
That's correct.
Okay, that's where you're going. Now, did you know that there are 22 states plus Puerto Rico that have state militias?
That's right. Most states are called the National Guard.
Oh, but no, these aren't the National Guard. They are state militias. They are not under any federal control whatsoever.
Yes, they are.
No, they aren't.
Soon as the federal government...
They have nothing to do with the federal government. They are independent. They are volunteers. In fact, California is one of them.
They're the posse comitas. I know all about that.
Look.
The fact of the matter remains that they don't need them anymore. Police have replaced the militias.
Yeah, except that some states are using them as emergency response teams. One of them even has a navy. I forget which one. They call it a navy, but, you know. They do some kind of patrolling, and some of them fight forest fires. Some of them do all kinds of civic things.
The National Guard does all that stuff.
That's not part of their job. The militia, they have designated functions. And not all of them are even military. Some are, you know, let's all call them paramilitary. They could bring their weapons and wear uniforms, but they don't necessarily. So anyway, so you're trying to tell me that these statewide organizations are no longer needed, but they are there, okay, just so we know. Here's one other thing, since we were talking about rebellions prior to the ratification of the Constitution.
Yes.
And remember I said cherry picking? What was the biggest rebellion just before the convention?
There were two, actually.
Okay, what's the big one?
The Rebellion in Massachusetts.
The Shays
Rebellion. And there was the Regulators in the Carolinas.
Okay, but Shays Rebellion, that's the big one, right?
That's the one everybody seemed to be afraid of, yes.
Right. Now... Not many slaves involved in that one, huh?
No, there weren't.
Yeah, and it didn't get a mention in Mr. Hartman's article either.
No, because, and it shouldn't
of
have.
Of course not, because
it
he's cherry-picking. He's
no,
not going to pick up the
no.
big crab apple. He wants the cheeries.
And the reason that what happened with Shay's Rebellion is the moneyed interest wanted the federal government.
And they didn't do it, or they couldn't do it.
Wait a minute, let me finish. To raise the armies to keep the peace. They didn't want there to be militias anymore.
Yeah, well, but that's all they had.
No, they wanted there to be a national army.
Yeah.
That the states didn't have any control of.
Right. Well, what they ended up doing was using a militia, and they also hired people. I mean, they hired people to, I don't know.
And with Shay's Rebellion, it wasn't actually put down by force. The state of Massachusetts sent an army out there. They fired a shot or two. Daniel Shay didn't get hung.
Yeah, right. Well,
they fired a shot or two, and then everybody went home.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing, too, I looked at the, let's say, the three biggest slave rebellions, which weren't all that big. And two of those were put down by the U.S. Army, Union forces.
First of all, there were lots of slave rebellions.
Yeah, but they were minor. They were really
the one in New Orleans in 18.
I didn't see any that were over 100 people involved.
Well, I suggest that you read a book called American Uprising by Dan Rasmussen.
Okay. Yeah, the one I went to is the Dr. Bogus from University of Davis, since that was cited in the article.
Did you say Dr. Bogus?
Yeah, his last name is Bogus. I'm not kidding. Yeah. If you go back and look at the article, that's his name.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
I know. I would change that like immediately. But
I would too. So we got about 6 minutes left here, folks. We've talked about a lot of things. If you want to call in, the number's 347-945-6713. We're coming under. We're going to be under the 5 minute mark in just a minute. Oh, by the way, this weekend I went to a great model railroad show.
Oh.
In Timonium.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a party where an old friend of mine and his band, well, it was actually a surprise birthday party for my friend. And he thought he was just going over to band practice. And so that was kind of cool. But the name of the band is, I don't know, maybe it's kind of dumb, but I thought it was funny enough to mention. They're called the Grateful Dads.
Oh,
wait a minute, I just got a chat room. Do you give away any free stuff? No, I don't give away any free stuff. I want you to send me stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, why don't you make up some Norm at Night t-shirts here, you know?
Oh, do I get any free stuff? No, I don't.
I don't.
You know, somebody said to me, I think, the head of a middle school at a place I work said I should create a Norm at Night listeners kit.
Oh.
You know, a mug, a t-shirt, a pencil.
So, yeah, that would be interesting.
Wait a minute. Now I understand the chat.
At the railroad show.
I got some good stuff at the railroad show. Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I got a great Erie Lackawanna t-shirt.
Oh, that's good. Mm.
I got some car kits to put together. hopper cars from the Erie Lackawanna Railroad.
Man.
I got some boxcar, Conrail boxcars. Unfortunately, they all have the same number, so I'm going to have to do, if I want to make them authentic, not that anybody ever really looks at the numbers on the car,
yeah,
model railroad.
Yeah.
But it won't be too hard to fix them.
Yeah, I was thinking, maybe having a small train under my Christmas tree. My Christmas tree's still up, by the way, so I'm slowly taking it down. I usually leave it up till Super Bowl. Because I like the light flashing and the whole, it makes me feel like
there haven't been many Super Bowls in February, right?
I think they tend to hit.
I think this is only the second and third one.
Yeah. I believe they tend to hit the last week, but it's just a couple days. I don't follow that really, but I mean, it was a good game. My team didn't win, but, what can I say? It was a really good game.
It's San Francisco Harbaugh. What a baby.
I don't know. He should have made it last year. Well, the Ravens should have made it last year, too.
I think the Ravens did make it. I thought the guy had it long enough to be a touchdown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, anyway, it was better than most. The one thing I will say, though, the commercials just plain suck. I mean, there was a time when that was a big highlight and nobody wanted to miss the commercials. And now, I didn't want to watch any of them. They were terrible.
I did like Danica's commercial.
Yeah, it just didn't work for me. I mean, they seem to be going for the patriotic thing or the emotional impact and that sort of thing.
The
humor was not there, you know.
What number Super Bowl was this?
Oh, hell, I don't remember.
72 was the first one, so that's 30, 40, it's 40-something. I mean, you just get sick of the commercials. I mean,
they have to be edgy and, you got to get the comedy writers working on this. They are playing safe. Nobody wants, everyone's afraid of pissing off somebody for political reasons or whatever. So.
Daytona 500's coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying now. Let me get the date here. I'm really... I like the Daytona 500 only in motorsports.
Yeah.
The big event first.
Hmm.
I always get a kick out of that. When is the Daytona 500? And the Daytona, it is still 500 miles. I think it may be the only one.
Hmm.
That has stayed at 500 miles.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Even though they call other races 500 still.
Right, right.
February 7th. Oh, wait. The race is February 24th.
Oh, okay.
And qualifying starts February 17th.
Hmm.
All right, folks. We're in the last 30 seconds. I'm glad you all came, and thanks a bunch. Thanks a bunch for bringing the California contingent in.
Mm-hmm.
Always a pleasure. And let's get that Christmas tree put away. Let's get that LSAT book out there, all you people who are still studying. I will do extra math classes tomorrow. Oh, no, not tomorrow. Tomorrow's 80%. Actually, tomorrow I'm doing an interesting thing. I'm doing live readings from Soul on Ice and the autobiography of Malcolm X.
Oh, it's Black History Month?
It's Black History Month, and we're doing some Black History stuff. And
Yeah.
I want kids to know some of the edgy guys.
Yeah. Well, I read some of what I remember anyway was Malcolm X's his early years, which are very interesting.
Right. The autobiography is a great book.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway, I gotta go. This is Norman Knight saying goodnight to you. They want to get me off the air. My hour's up, and I have enjoyed it. And please, everyone, come on back next week. I'll see you.
Will do. Take care, man. Good night.
Okay.